Have you ever heard the term hobnobbing with the goober smoochers? Some of you have. How about rubbing elbows with the rich and famous? Networking. Call it whatever you want. This is not something that's new or unique to this day and age. People have been trying to position themselves in the best of company to enhance themselves in society or in business, or to get themselves next to a celebrity or important person for a photo op, or as we call it today, a photo bomb, where we'll just stick our head in and we'll show up on Facebook or all of those other social media. Or maybe it's to get our point of view heard, or even to present a business opportunity, proposition. We've all done it from time to time. It's been going on for ages. And sometimes we've even been the person that people want to get close to. We've all seen it at weddings, dinner parties, business meetings, you name it. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus is talking about the way in which the people of his day were jostling for position in the eyes of God. It appeared to Jesus that they were eager to push themselves forward, to show how well they were keeping the law, to maintain their own purity and piety. They were precisely the sort of people Jesus found himself associating with. And let me tell you, they were the wrong kind of people. Jesus is touching the untouchable and calling the nobodies. This parable is practical human wisdom, warning against pride and arrogance, warning against pushing yourself forward in the sight of Almighty God. Now, in Jesus' day, Jewish custom at a dinner was to arrange the couches in a U shape, and a low table would be in front of them. Guests reclined always on their left elbow, and they would be seated according to their status, with the place of honor being the seat in the center of the U. You can picture this, right? Okay? The farther away you are from the seat of honor, it lowered your status. If arrivals had placed themselves in the place of honor, and then someone more distinguished arrived, they would be asked to move to lower seats. By then, the only seat that would still be open would be the lowest place. The wedding banquet is a picture of the Messiah's kingdom. Those who seek honor for themselves will be taken down a peg. Jesus explains that honor cannot be taken. It must be given by God. He will not honor those who seek to honor themselves. Who are those who exalt themselves? They're the arrogant people. The ones who in any group of people would rather talk than listen. You all know, you've met people like that. Dominating the conversation with their own thoughts and ideas. Whatever you have to say, they cut off and they continue to get back to their thoughts. I keep thinking of Sheldon in the Big Bang Theory. And now back to me. They consistently think everyone else is far less intelligent or important than they are. Sheldon. They treat people in many occupations as inferior and meant to serve only them. So who are the humble people? Unfortunately, some people try to give the appearance of humility in order to manipulate others, while others think that humility means putting themselves down. Truly humble people compare themselves only with Christ, realizing their sinfulness and understand their limitations and the huge gap that exists between them and our Lord Jesus. They also recognize their gifts and strengths and are willing to use them as Christ leads them. Humility, my friends, is not self-degradation. It is a realistic assessment and a commitment to to serve. In the nearly 12 years that I have been a priest, I've got to tell you that, and mostly this was up north, I would meet with people who have a horrible, horrible image of themselves. And if I ask them, do they like themselves? Usually the answer is no. And my prayer is that they, and my prayer is for each one of you, that the next time you look in the mirror, you see yourself as God sees you. You are unique. You are special. You are loved beyond compare. That's what God sees. You're His creation. You're His child. That's not something to take lightly, my friends. In Jesus' day, just like today, there were status symbols that helped people enhance and protect their high standing in society. If you were invited to the right homes, and if you were seated in the right places, then people would know how important you really were. The emphasis was on reputation, not character. It was more important for them to sit in the right places than to live the right kind of life. Success that comes only from self-promotion is temporary, and you may be embarrassed as you're asked to move down. When Jesus advised the guests to take the lowest places, He was not giving them a gimmick that guaranteed promotion. The false humility that takes the lowest place is just as hateful to God as the pride that takes the highest place. God is not impressed by our status in society or in the church. He's not influenced by what people say or think about us, because He sees the thoughts and the motives of the heart. I want you to hear what was written by God through Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God still humbles the proud and exalts the humble. The Lord reminds us of this through the epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 6. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's been said that humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It's simply not thinking of ourselves at all. Jesus is the greatest example of humility, and we would do well to ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to imitate Him. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. Verses 3 through 11, in which he writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Powerful words. Jesus knew that the host had invited his guests for two reasons. Number one, to pay them back because they had invited him to pass feasts, or to put them under his debt so that they would invite him to future events and feasts. This kind of hospitality was not an expression of love and grace, but rather an evidence of pride and selfishness. He was buying recognition. In our Lord's time, it was not considered proper to ask poor people and handicapped people to banquets. And I'm sorry to tell you this, women weren't invited either. But Jesus commanded us to put these needy people back at the top of our guest list because they cannot pay us back. If our hearts are right, God will see to it that we are properly rewarded, though getting a reward must not be the motive for our generosity. When we serve others from an unselfish heart, we're laying up treasures in heaven and becoming rich toward God. You got to admit, today's modern world is very competitive. And it's easy for God's people to become more concerned about profit and loss than they are about sacrifice and service. What will I get out of it? Or even better, what's in it for me? I remember the movie Field of Dreams, in which Shoeless Joe Jackson is about to tell Ray Kinsella the purpose for all the things that have been happening to him, building that field, going to Boston, and getting James Earl Jones. I can't remember the character. He sees James Earl Jones going out into the cornfield, and his reaction is, how come he's going out there? Shoeless Joe Jackson says, so what you're saying is, what's in it for me? And with that, Kevin Costner says, no, what's in it for me? In other words, he wanted to know what it was all about ahead of time. He wanted to know what the bottom line would be. And that might easily become the most important question in somebody's life. We must attempt to maintain an unselfish attitude that Jesus had and share what we have with others. My brothers and sisters in Christ, on the day of judgment, many who today are first in the eyes of men will be last in the eyes of God. And many who are last in the eyes of men will be first in the eyes of God. It's not about our place in line. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.